This latest addition to the archives of America is dedicated at a moment when government of the people by themselves is being attacked everywhere. It is therefore proof, if any proof is needed, that our confidence in the future of democracy has not diminished in this nation and will not diminish.
Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the FDR Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York. I'm Joe Donahue.
I'm Alan Chartok, and you're the studio audience. We broadcast in front of a room filled with wonderful WAMC members who pledged during the last fund drive and join us on this special morning.
Besides our on-air duo, our producer Sarah LaDuke is here, well, to produce this show. Also, Adam Claremont is responsible for getting us and keeping us on the air. Dave Hopper is back at home base in Albany, where he's running the board. We're tweeting pictures at twitter.com/WAMC Roundtable and posting them to the WAMC Facebook page as well, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And now it's time to meet our host.
Lynn Bassanese began here as part-time archives aide in 1972 while a student at nearby Marist College. She's now the director of the Library and Museum and has largely overseen this $35 million nine-year restoration and redesign project, and we're celebrating this morning.
She was also front and center at yesterday's rededication here at America's first presidential library, the only one used by a sitting president, and to show her power, to prove her power to you, for 3 hours of the event, it didn't rain. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Lynn Bassanese, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you here, and it's a pleasure to have this live audience here as well. And I cannot take credit for the weather yesterday. That was Franklin D. Roosevelt looking down on us and smiling and making sure that we were dry. A wonderful event, a momentous occasion for the Roosevelt Library to be able to take an old, deteriorating building, have appropriated money to get it back to National Archives standards and to stop all of the terrible leaks and so forth. And then, in addition to that, not just getting a new building, but then having these wonderful new exhibits put in. And that's an effort by the Roosevelt Institute, our private non-partner. So we just had a double whammy. And fortunately, we are at the end of a very long project, but we are so excited to be open. And we had such a great reaction to our new exhibits that we know going forward, we are going to have one of the best history museums on the East Coast, and people are going to flock to
our I love the map room, which we got to see, because in this time of leaks, you mentioned leaks. nobody was allowed in there, not the Secret Service or anybody else.
Amazing. It was a very small room in the basement of the White House, and FDR ran World War II with an old-fashioned telephone and a decoding machine. The messages would come in from Churchill and Stalin. They would be decoded. There would be a couple of soldiers in there passing them on to the president. The president had not even let Eleanor Roosevelt in that room, so you know how secret it was.
Yeah.
So, compared to today's Situation Room, it's very minor.
So, for the exhibit, you have an actual replica of that room with that old telephone, a couple of them on the table, and the chance to look at the various documents, and it's all interactive, and it's amazing to see.
It's one of our favorite new interactives that we did. You can touch the screen and find out, look at different battle areas. You can find out where the Roosevelts traveled. You can do a quiz game and see how much you know about World War II. You can listen to FDR's famous fireside chat in which he said to people, take out your maps and follow along. And I think National Geographic sold more maps the night before that fireside chat than they had ever done before, because people were in their living rooms listening to FDR explaining to them about the war and about what the strategy was, looking at those maps.
You know, it's sort of hard to remember that this is the first presidential library.
Well, we remember it every single day. We believe we're not only the first presidential library, but we are the finest presidential library.
Absolutely. Goes without saying.
So,
it's the first, and he designed it. I mean, you have the drawing in the exhibit where he said, this is what I want, and this was Roosevelt as an architect.
FDR always fancied himself as an architect. He would design some of the WPA buildings. He would tell the engineers how to build bridges. He really thought he knew a lot about that stuff. So he put a little sketch together about what he thought the library should look like. He decided it should have the field stone that he loved so much. At first, he didn't think we needed air conditioning. He didn't think that was necessary, but they finally convinced him that, yes, you did need to do something like that for the paper's preservation. And if you look at that sketch and you look at this building, it looks very much like that. Mm-hmm. In addition, he sketched out the two wings that we didn't build until 1972. They were added from 70 to 72. He sketched those out because he said, Mrs. Roosevelt's going to have a lot of papers too. You're going to need to expand. So he not only gave us the original building, he gave us the expansion as well.
One of the things that I find incredible, and this was brought up yesterday during the rededication, is this whole idea of a sitting president. It's 1938 when this was started, and he said, I want a library and I want to put... So the people who don't like you immediately say, how big is your ego? What are you doing? Why should we pay money for that? And that struck me yesterday, because I would assume if that were done today, it would be the same thing.
Oh, it's exactly the same thing with presidential libraries today. Because the president raises the money privately to build the library. But then the building, it's turned over to the government, to the National Archives and Records Administration, the agency that runs presidential libraries. So there's still a great deal of controversy. And, of course, libraries get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're the smallest presidential library. We probably have the biggest story of any president to tell.
We have four terms.
We have four terms.
And you have the best president.
We have the best president. We have two of the greatest crises in the 20th century. And we are the smallest. The new ones get bigger and bigger. And now they've added... think tanks to them and so forth. So it's really evolved into sort of a new animal for presidential libraries. We don't like to call ourselves old. We call ourselves a mature presidential library.
And this, because I know we want to get Herman in here in a second, but one of the things that I think is important to note is that the inclusion of things within this, what time will bring you. You know, so you now have 71 years after the initial library opened, you look at what is in there, and you acknowledge the flaws as well.
We do indeed. We have 10 computer stations that we call Confront the Issues, and we take the controversial issues during President Roosevelt's time. Did he know about Pearl Harbor, Japanese-American internment, the Holocaust, FDR and race, his health? And what we do is we put in documents and other material to let you understand why FDR made the decision he did, and then we put in historical perspectives. We put in, you can read about from an author who says FDR should have done so much more, and you can read different opinions. So you as the visitor stand in front of that, and then you form your own opinion. You can see, well, I see the evidence FDR had, I understand his decision, but now I see the dissenting opinion. So we've got it all.
I mean, you go in there and you say that he had an affair.
Yes, we
you
certainly...
You beat me to it.
Sorry, I didn't...
Yes?
I'm sorry, I knew that would be what, like a question you would want to ask. I apologize.
And thank you both for asking it.
Yes,
yes, we talk about Lucy Mercer. The affair was documented and well known. We talk about how it changed the President and Mrs. Roosevelt's relationships. And then, frankly, we go a step further. We talk about other relationships that both the President and Mrs. Roosevelt had. And we call them relationships, friendships or relationships. Again, you as the visitor decide whether you believe that those were friendships or those were relationships.
So what about orthodoxy? I mean, for example, we now see a film about FDR and some of these, quote, relationships. You're the font here of all information. Do you see it as your role to critique what we see in the film, in the popular culture?
No. We don't ever comment on current things that are going on. We were asked to comment about the film that was out. We don't. Our job here,
Hyde Park on the Hudson with Bill Murray is
our job here is to provide access to the historical materials that we have. That is the job of the National Archives. That is the job of the Roosevelt Library. We give everyone who wants to come to our research room access to all the facts. Then you draw your own opinions. We, as government employees, as archivists, as the director, I don't comment
okay,
on someone's
okay. I get it. I get it. But did you see the film?
I did see the film.
And what did you think?
I believed that there were many historical inaccuracies in the film.
Jeffrey Ward, who was the keynoter yesterday, the Roosevelt, famed Roosevelt historian, was here, and he was in the lobby, and the movie sort of is based loosely on his book, kind of.
He edited the diaries of Daisy Sukley.
And he went off on a rant for about 40 minutes in the lobby yesterday, which was the funniest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. It was quite extraordinary. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk specifically about the museum's new exhibits with Lynn, and we'll be joined by the museum's curator, Herman Eberhardt. You're listening to The Roundtable's live broadcast from Hyde Park on WAMC.